Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rick Astley is nice. That's fine. Everybody bobbing their head, but it does not compare to the song. Now, what happened was last time Ira was on with us, last time Omar was on with us from the Sun Sentinel, Ira was listening and he heard that Omar had a theme song.
Yeah.
And so he wanted a theme song and we created a theme song for Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel. I don't think we could ever perform it as well as we did live on the air last week. So this forevermore will be the introduction for Ira Winderman. Ira Winderman, Ira Winderman, from the Sun Sentinel. Ira Winderman, Ira Winderman, he covers the NBA.
He loves it.
The groan from Ira is absolutely great. Join in, Ira. I think we all remember the Ira Winderman song from our weddings and bar mitzvahs. Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Ira Winderman, who covers the Heat and the NBA for the Sun Sentinel. Ira Winderman is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. Hello, Ira.
And what you guys don't know, and I was just devastated. Apparently, Falero trademarked and copyrighted it, and he's taking it with him.
Yeah, people have asked yesterday when they found out Falero's leaving the show, does all the sound go with him? And to be quite honest, he has enough trouble finding the sound when he's here. It's going to be almost impossible when he's gone.
No, I'm fully expecting this on ESPN Plus, and that's why I've just bought a subscription. Exactly.
His filing system is not anything to not anything to rave about. Couple things. Before I ask you about NBA Finals. So we have this story. I don't know if you saw it from Action Network and ESPN. Mm-hmm. There's a gambler, a guy named Scott Barry. So he put a $400 future on the St. Louis Blues back in January. So the ticket, if the Blues win the Stanley Cup Finals, is worth $100,000. And he's had offers originally at $20,000, then another offer, $40,000. If you were the owner of that ticket, you had invested $400, would you sell it for $40,000?
No, but I would definitely hedge the bet and take the other size for a small price.
Yeah.
You know, why not be a guaranteed winner? You start with 400, you could probably guarantee yourself at least 40,000 if not more. You know, if you go the other way and split it evenly based on the Bruins being the favorite, but why not leave with something? You know, if you really are that far out, I never understood the thing about just selling your ticket and being totally out of the game for a smaller price when it seemed like you can hedge it and get more than that $20,000. Again, you know, from my accounting background, from all my people's years, that's what I would do.
All my people's years.
Yes. And I will leave it alone without mentioning it ethnicity, so someone might say, oh, you're Romanian.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally understand. I think you put that in a very perfect and succinct fashion. I'm with you 100%.
That was silly.
Yes, another cheap Romanian.
I got you. All right. Now, I read something yesterday. We talked about this on the air. It was in Ask Ira. Before I get to the NBA Finals, you answered in Ask Ira the possibility that the Lakers do end up still reaching out to Pat Riley after all, because the thing, if even possible, that the Lakers went further off the rails, they have. And I guess it's not that Pat Riley and the Lakers, there's no chance. It's that they never reached out to him in the first place. So yeah. Do you think there is a chance that Jeannie Buss says, you know what, this is becoming ridiculous. The ESPN during the NBA Finals, you can't turn on a TV without people talking about what kind of disarray this franchise is in. We do need, I think you used in Ask Ira, you know, back up the Brinks truck or the armored car. Do you think there's a chance?
I think they at least have to be seen with him, you know, and have a paparazzi there or something and show they're making an effort to get back to normalcy and doing things the right way. If you remember, the Lakers at one point spoke to Pat Riley. Instead, he came back with Shaquille O'Neal back when they were still more of a stable organization. So I think you need to reach out to people like that. You need to get input like that, if nothing else than to say, hey, Pat didn't want to come at this stage in his career. He's trying to finish what he created in Miami, but we consulted with him. We did the right thing. I cannot fathom how you could possibly bring back Rob Pelinka based on those stories, including saying a deceased actor was meeting with Kobe Bryant months after he died and just stuff like that. I mean, it might not be on the level of, like, you know, who is it? Was it Brian Williams at NBC and embellishment and things like that? But the Lakers have to do something. They can't come back with what they have right now because there's no respect. How do you recruit free agents? Yes, we're a dumpster fire. Here's a match. Do you want to join us?
Yeah. And to that point, another conversation that was started from your article, mm-hmm. if Riley, let's say Riley goes, let's say they back up the Brinks truck and Riley goes to L.A., would Riley and LeBron team up again in L.A. and have any chance to recreate the Miami success?
I think that LeBron is so cutthroat that anything gets him to a successful point, you know, whether there were any words with Pat and the way it ended, he would push that aside. Would that be enough right now? Hey, this is what we were talking about a year ago when we spoke about LeBron going to the Lakers. It's the Western Conference. I don't know how much you can do. The Clippers are sitting out there with two max slots if they trade Danilo Gallinari, so they could wind up with Kawhi and KD. The Warriors are going nowhere. They're going to at least bring back Klay Thompson and have the Splash Brothers forever. The Nuggets moved up the standings. The Blazers have that backcourt. I don't know how much farther you can go. I think LeBron can get back to the playoffs. I think LeBron can win a playoff series. But I'm not so sure in today's Western Conference, he left a good situation in the East, Channing, and to go West, I don't think, you know, if you're asking me what are the percentages of LeBron James being in another NBA Finals, I would say less than 50% and probably far less than 50%.
Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel. All right, tonight, NBA Finals start. Make the case for us that Toronto is going to beat the Golden State Warriors.
Toronto is going to beat the Golden State Warriors, if I'm coming from that angle, because number one, when you have the best player in a series, it always helps. The best player in the series, at least the way they're playing right now, I think we'd all agree, is Kawhi Leonard. The other thing is people forget how much sort of that the Warriors have lost a bunch of pieces. They've been attrition over the years. If they're not going to have Kevin Durant, they also don't have Harrison Barnes, who was let go to move him in. People forgetting little things, like David West was there last year. He's gone. They had JaVale McGee last year, sort of a big body there. He's gone. I'm not saying Nick Young was the be-all and end-all. I think the Warriors, well, clearly, without KD, are less of a team right now than they were a year ago, so I don't think they stand as daunting. And I think it's safe to say this is the deepest competition they've had from the East in the last 5 years based on what Cleveland and LeBron were dragging along in the finals.
Okay, that's a fairly good argument for Toronto. Now, after you said all that, make the case to us that Golden State will sweep Toronto.
Well, you know, it's almost the opposite. It used to be the Western Conference was the ultimate gauntlet. And by the time you got through the West, did you have anything left? And that's what allowed the Cavaliers to compete to a degree in the finals. This year it's the opposite. I mean, look what Toronto has been through. Game 7 and Kawhi's shot to win that series against the 76ers. Then going 6 grueling games against the Bucks with a relatively quick turnaround versus the Warriors. Really, after they won Game 6 against Houston, you know, they had the sweep against the Blazers. They come in refreshed. Yes, they're injured without Durant, but their players now, you have Steph Curry, you have Klay Thompson, you have Draymond Green rested. They should be in really good shape. They have won big playoff games on the road already. They know what to do. They sort of know how to get it done, is cliche. And I think they also realize it's coming to the end. And one more thing. I think Steph and Klay really want to win almost without KD just to show, hey, this is still about the Splash Brothers, not the guy who has starred in the NBA Finals the last 2 years.
And I'm with you. Kawhi is the best player, like you're saying, with KD out, obviously. But I was perplexed this week when everybody was breaking down this series and they talking about Kawhi in the same breath as MJ and Kobe. Kawhi's good, Ira. He's not on that level, is he?
Well, he has been on that level in these last 3 weeks. So, again, we're talking small sample size. Is that sustainable? That's the real question right now. But he really is like an automatron. I mean, the way he plays and he looks like he's going to fall apart and he can't run and he has a bad leg and he's exhausted, it's sort of hard to watch him. And then you look at the box score and you go, he did that? I mean, he's just a different kind of player. I think because he takes emotion out of the equation, everything he has can just go into playing. So, yeah, Channing, I'm not saying career-wise, of course not, that he's not on that level. But you know what? In the last 3 weeks, he's probably looked as good in the last 3 weeks as any NBA player has looked in the last 3 years, including LeBron.
Make the case for Kawhi staying in Toronto.
That's a hard one for me because it just, you know, again, you could say, he won a championship, so he'll stay. Well, he won a championship at San Antonio, and he was miserable. Well, he'll be the star of the finals and be MVP. Well, he was MVP of a finals in San Antonio and was miserable. I don't think you can get inside that man's mind. And I think if he wants to be where he wants to be, that he just goes back to California, probably plays for the Clippers, and settles in there. All these people who are saying, oh, this proves Toronto was right. They traded DeMar DeRozan, but they got a guy who got him to the finals. Well, if it's just a one-year rental and you don't win a championship, was it still a good trade?
You know, it's funny you asked that because we had Brian Geltziler on yesterday. I asked him that exact question. Did Toronto win the trade just based on what's happened this season? He said absolutely yes.
Well, you see, I always take the longer view. I know that NBA teams, even when they win one championship, what's the first question after you win? Can you repeat? Can you win another? NBA's measured dynastically that it almost takes two to, you know, even get into the club, you know, get the fancy sport coat or whatever they would give you in that, you know, in that mythical type of organization there. So, yeah, I think when you look right now, if you're saying one season is good enough, then there are a ton of trades you could make for players and expiring contracts that you might wind up losing. I think it's bigger than that. Again, maybe it comes down to what does DeMar DeRozan do the rest of his career? But man, for a one-year rental to give up an iconic franchise player and then lose in the finals, I don't think that's enough. I think if you win a championship, then you can make a stronger argument.
Ira, just while you were talking about Kawhi and talking about like taking emotion out of it is something to, you know, talk about in athletics all the time. Just do your job. If you do exactly what you're supposed to do, no emotion, you know, it can help the team. But is it hurting his brand? Is it hurting the marketing? Nobody's wearing the Air Kawhis.
I don't think he gives a rat's butt. I think that's part of it.
You're right. I agree.
I think he wants to go to work. He wants to leave work. He doesn't want you to know who he is, what he's about, what he's going to sell. You know, and let's face it, there's enough money there that Kawhi Leonard's going to get a contract close to $200 million. I never understood some of these guys. It's such ego. Oh, I have wine. Oh, I have my shoes. I have my clothes collection. Look at my socks. Like, at some point, like, why do you got to sell so much stuff? You know, after you make your first quarter, you know, $1 billion, isn't that enough? That I never got that. I think he's sort of what people want in their athletes. Be an athlete and then go be yourself and don't be this caricature. I give him credit for that.
My son showed me something on the internet. Did you tell me you had seen this too, Falero, where it's Kawhi, where it says, like, Kawhi is the type of NBA player where his family and his friends wouldn't even know that he's an NBA star, where he just leaves for work every day and they say, where are you going? And he says, yeah, I'm going to work. And then he comes home at night. How was work? Fine. But he never lets anyone know that he's an NBA superstar. Like, it's kind of what you're saying. I don't think he cares either if he's got a brand to market or not. He's New Balance, right? Isn't that his brand? New Balance? Yeah.
And if you buy him, fine. If you don't buy him, fine. Because you know he ain't autographing him for you when you run into him at Starbucks or at Tim Hortons in Canada or something.
Is he aloof or is he not a nice guy? I don't know anything about him.
He's just private. He'd just rather not talk to you. The interview culture we have, you get a player to shoot around, you get him at pregame, you get him at postgame. He doesn't want to do that. He just wants to play basketball and go home. But because of the web and now everything being in real time, everyone wants a piece of someone. He just doesn't want that. Here's the question I have. Masai Ujiri, the general manager, and Nick Nurse, the coach, have both mentioned this as part of their recruiting. They let Kawhi Leonard sit out 20-something games this season, a quarter of their schedule, as part of their plan to have him as fresh as he is right now. Guys, do you think other teams that are recruiting him would put that in a pitch. In other words, I know the Heat don't have the money for it. We know Pat Riley, every game is the most important game ever, you know, and you got to make the playoffs and finish as high as you can in the standings. But if Toronto were to come out after the season and say, we got to the finals, or even we won a championship, we plan, if Kawhi comes back, to give him 20 games again off next season. Do you think other teams would match that?
Yes.
Do you think the Clippers would match that?
Yes.
The Knicks would match that?
Yes. I think you have to do, it's almost like Alabama with Nick Saban, right? Isn't it his contract that whoever the highest paid coach is in NCAA football, he gets $1 more?
What's the deal with the devil, though? What if you're Adam Silver and you're selling me on a 41-game season ticket home schedule or 82 games of paying to watch on League Pass and that becomes a thing? I think that's the most dangerous part of the Kawhi Leonard experience.
Yeah, but if I'm an NBA owner, though, and my choices are Kawhi's on my team, I got to give him nights off, or Adam Silver's mad at me. Yeah, I'm going to go with get Adam Silver mad at me every time.
And then what if you're the owner of that team and you're charging me for a 41-game home schedule when you know in a quarter of those games the superstar you just paid for won't be there? How do you deal with that aspect, Hawk?
You raise the soda prices to $18 for a small and you hope for the best.
We saw it down here with Wade later on his career, didn't we?
Yeah, LeBron hit it.
Yeah, you know, but there was always another player there when he did it with the big three, and then this year he did it all. I just think that's fascinating, that players will not only go in and ask for the max, which now pays $500,000 a game, but they'll ask to get a quarter of those games off and still get their $500,000. In 2 years, James Harden, John Wall, and Chris Paul will all earn $500,000 a game. So when they get a night off for load management, they're making $500,000 to show up in their dress jeans and sport coat.
That's what Crowder's facing tomorrow. He has the day off tomorrow. What do you got, $500,000 for the day off tomorrow? Somewhere around there? Somewhere in that neighborhood?
1% raise a decade.
Oh, Ira Winderman. He's making that Falero money.
Yeah. All right. Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel. Would you like to say farewell to Falero?
Well, I said it privately before, but I will miss the malaprops and the incredibly professional wrong answers to keep you going when a lot of people don't know he's already been a five-time champ on Jeopardy. The man is brilliant.
Malaprops. That's going to take him 4 hours to look up.
How do you spell that?
Yeah, exactly.
And when he files it, he'll file it under N, so you'll never be able to find the segment again.
I'm pretty sure he thought you were talking about the cookie that's got marshmallow in it, Malamars.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think that's what he thought you were referring to. Thank you, Ira.
Hey, always glad to join you at this time of day. Thank you, guys.
Such a pro. Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel. Enjoy that very much. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back.